All right, Rebo, I said thank you so much for coming out. Really awesome to be able to do this again. Malava Malka, pizza, enjoy. Tonight's topic is going to be uniquely focused, and it's probably something that you might have been ruminating about, thinking about, but you've never actually had a shear on it. So the shear is entitled, When Hashkafic Worlds Collide. Who's really right? Meaning, you know, sometimes when we're trying to carve out an understanding of a hashkafa, we see different yeshivas. We see what they do. We see what we do. And if you think about it, in a certain sense, it can really become like a royal rumble. In this corner, weighing in at 613 mitzvot, it's Or Sameach. And in this corner, weighing in at 613 mitzvot, it's Malchon Yaakov. You know? Or, though in this corner, those who went to the rally when the war first broke out. And in that corner, those who didn't go to the rally. Or the Hasidim over here in that corner. You get the idea. And it can seem like almost a battle between Hashkafas. You can start wondering and questioning, how do I reconcile all these different viewpoints? And if you're not one that's directly in the battle, you might be one of these people who are kind of like, oh no, not again. Oh, not again. Or worse, you might be another person who's like, dude, get the popcorn, this is going to be exciting. So hopefully by the end of the night, you will not be in either of those categories, but you'll hopefully have a better understanding of how we can appreciate all hashkafas while still having confidence in our own. So we're going to go through a Gemara in Sota, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We're going to go through the first Tosfos there. Don't worry, I translated it, so we'll do it in Hebrew. We'll do it from the English, so that way it's a little bit of a quicker experience. And then we'll dive into what's going on over here, how this is actually something that is extremely profound and relevant, coming from Rabbi Binyamin Luban, who is the brother of Rabbi Luban of Or Torah. He gave this over in the name of Rav Simcha Wasserman. So this is like heavy-duty stuff. I didn't want to come and load it down with my own Rebbe's hashkafas. I wanted to come in something that was unbiased, but I think that will dovetail into ultimately, I think everybody's hashkafas ultimately on how we approach this topic. And again, it's when hashkafic worlds collide. Who's right? Okay, so we're going to look at Lamed Zayin. It starts right in the beginning. And just the background for this right here is, we're talking about the people who went into the Yam Suf. It's Kriyas Yam Suf time. We're ready to go. Ready to rock. Nice to see you. Come on and grab some pizza. We're just getting started. The topic is called When Hashkafic Worlds Collide, Who's Really Right? And so, let's rock. Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph. Shifto Shel Binyamin. The Yored Liyam Techila. The tribe of Binyamin went down into the sea first. Shnemar, like it says in the verse, Sham Binyamin, Zair Rodim. There's Binyamin ruling over them. Al Tikre Rodim Ella Radyam. Don't read it as Rodim ruling over them. Read it rather as Rod going down Yam into the sea. Vahayu Sare Yehuda. And it was that the princes of Yehuda, Rogmim Otam, they were stoning them. They were stoning them for doing so. Shnemar, like it says in the verse, Sare Yehuda, Rigmatam. Like it says in the verse, the princes of Yehuda, they were stoning them. So let's flip to the next page, the English if you want. So my question that we're going to start off with is, again, it's Kriyas Yam Suf. Everybody's here. And under this pshat, let's skip to the important note. I want to start that straight out of the gate before any questions. It's right in the middle. Important note. This entire pshat does not go like those who held that Nachshon ben Aminadav was the first into the sea.
Right.
Also, based on the Netziv, this pshat holds that the sea already began splitting before anyone entered. If you want to see the more well-known pshat, go down to the next sugi and on this Amud, that's going to say Amar Lo Rebbe Yehuda. You'll see it there. But we're understanding right now that for what we're going to accomplish tonight, we're not seeing it like that. We're seeing it as the tribe of Binyamin went in first. Okay, so our question is, why were the princes particularly, of Shevet Yehuda throwing stones at Shevet Binyamin? What? They're going into the sea, and you're going to throw stones at them? What's the problem? So let's look at Tosfos. And again, I translated it for you so we don't have to go through the taxing work of doing it in the shir. Trust me, I'm pretty sure it's right. If not, let me know afterwards. But I'm almost positive we got this here. So this is a very crucial Tosfos. It's going to open the whole entire thing. It's the, if you want to see it in the Hebrew, it's the, literally the first one on the page, Vahayu. And it was that the princes of Yehuda were throwing stones at them, meaning Sheva ben Yamin. This is how the Braisa in the Mechilta explains this. So Tosfos is bringing the Mechilta to help us understand via a mashal what's going on here. What is this similar to? A king of flesh and blood who had two sons, one older and one younger. He, the king, said to the younger one, "Wake me up at mates." He said to the older one, "Wake me up at 3 hours," meaning later than mates. The younger one came, doing the will of his father, to wake him up at nates, and wouldn't let him rest. The older one said to him, meaning the younger one, "He told me until 3 hours. What do you mean?" And the younger says, "He told me until nates." And a fight breaks out between both sons. "My father told me to do it this way." "Well, yeah, but my same father said to do it that way." Obviously, the father wakes up, since their father woke up and said to them, "My sons, regardless," and then I add, "of you fighting and trying to do the exact opposite actions of each other, you both only intended all of this for my honor. I will not withhold," this is still all Tosfos, "I will not withhold reward from you." What reward did Sheva ben Yamin receive? They were the first to go down into the sea during Kriyat Yam Suf, and they merited to receive the Shekhinah as their portion. What's that mean? Part of their territory that they received would be where the Beit HaMikdash stood. Come on and grab some pizza. We'll do a brief recap. I know it's raining out there. So this is the Tosfos. They were the first to go down to the sea during Kriyat Yam Suf and merited to receive the Shekhinah as their portion, meaning part of their territory would be where the Beit HaMikdash stood. Gishmak that all the sausages were taken. Nice crowd tonight. So feel free to share, guys, okay? They're going to be important. Okay. And what reward did Shevet Yehuda receive? They received Malchut, kingship. So let's dive in and understand what's happening here. And I think it's worth just doing a brief chazara and going through again what this Tosfos is actually saying again. So Sam Kramer, we're talking about when hashkafic worlds collide, who's really right? And we said basically we're now setting up the stage between an understanding of Kriyas Yam Suf where Sheva ben Yamin went in first, and not anyone else, not Nachshon ben Amminadav in that case, because he's this pshat says it was the tribe of Binyamin, and Yehuda was very upset about that, so much so that they threw stones at them. Now Tosfos is coming in to say, what is this situation similar to? We're saying it's similar to as if a father told two different sons, one older, one younger, we'll analyze who's who in this, whether it's who's Yehuda, who's Binyamin in the Machshel, based on the Mechilta. And he said to one, "Wake me up at Nates." He says to the other, "Wake me up at 3 hours." They both come in at the time. "Wake me up." One's guarding him, obviously. One might think, first question, like, "I thought you was going to wake him up in 3 hours. What is he doing there at Nates?" No. "I'm protecting my father from being woken up by anybody." That's basic understanding.
3 hours after Nates?
Yeah. Like, that's you'll see that that's the time that, like, the regular time for a Melech to wake up at. Nates would be right. Above nature. That would be, like, beyond. Well, we'll get there, too. Okay. And so let's just understand what's actually happening and what's flying here. So, Shevet Yehuda was throwing stones. Or at least we're saying now that the princes were throwing stones at Sheva ben Yamin. Why? Because they strongly felt that ben Yamin was out of line. They were acting inappropriately. Shevet ben Yamin was going in first without any regard to tribal order. Remember, they're last. They're youngest. What are you doing? You know, hopping around too fast, Yehuda thinks. They also think... that, hello, I want to wait to go in, al pi derech ateva. I have underlined on the source sheet, Shevet Yehuda held as their hashkafa, that Klal Yisrael could only enter the sea after it finished splitting, in order for everyone to go in, al pi derech ateva. Now let's, based on that, link up who's who in the mashal by Tosfos. If we're going in, al pi derech ateva, and we're the older son is Yehuda, in the mashal of the Mechilta. So now we're saying we want to go in al pi derech ateva. I'm going to wake him up at 3 hours. That's normal time that a king, a melech, wakes up. That's how the Mefarshim open it up. And what's Binyamin going to answer back? Is there hashkafa or is there approach? We're going to broadly define hashkafa tonight, by the way. Hashkafa is going to be anything that could be a Jewish, we're going to see, proper Jewish outlook. We're going to determine and define proper. A proper Jewish outlook on life, that could be through the lens of an event that happened, or it could be as big and deep as Hasidim versus somewhat like a grouping of an individual, Breslovit, whatever it might be. It's a philosophical outlook that could be as granular as you want it to be, or as broad as you want it to be. What we're going to do tonight is understand when worlds collide, and they're literally like, no, my father said to wake me up at this time. Yeah, and the other one said, no, it's just like that. And so if by even a contradiction, we're going to learn that also, all the more so even by when they're not completely contradictory, can we learn and gain from all the hushkafas, hopefully, and approach things in a healthy way. So we know where we line up with confidence, and we know how to approach things when they seem to go off the rails. Or at least when it's like, well, you're Orsameach, you're Mochan Shlomo, you're Mochan... What's going on here? Who's really right? Yeah, that's the whole piece. And so now, Binyamin held as their hashkafa, there's a reason like down on the mitzvahs. And they said they have to display Batachon and Hashem. And who cares about tribal order? Tribal order, shmaibal order. I'm Zrizim L'dam on mitzvahs, I have Batachon. And now you can see here, this isn't halachic, right? No one got the Torah yet. Like the sea split, and again, this pshat holds that the sea was already starting to split a little bit. Nachshon ben Amin Adav is later on down the line in the Abed, I'm not worrying about him. And so now we're seeing a situation. Yehuda wanted the whole sea to split. And for everybody to walk in, I'll be Derek Adeva. Let's minimize the nais. We don't want to be somach al nais. Okay, it's a nais anyway, but let's less somach al nais. Binyamin's like, what are you talking about? It's a nais. We're going in. Who's right? Who's right? And so Tosfos tells us clearly that it's both. How do we know it's both? Because based on the Mechilta's mashal, both of them got rewarded. You don't reward somebody who did something wrong. You give them an onish. And both were rewarded. Who got what? Who got what? We said already that Yehuda got Malchus, right? Which makes sense because Malchus, as we're talking about, is things that are not Alpi Derech HaTeva. Malchus is ruling over the world in this world, not the next world. And Shev Ben Yamin, what did they receive? They received as their heritage to be closer, at least part of their territory was going to be where the Beis Hamikdash was, where miraculous things happened every single day in the Beis Hamikdash. And so we have a situation where they're going in more than Abli Derech HaTeva, they're okay to be Samach Al Anes. And Binyamin is saying, we're going to go right now with Batachon in. And we're going to approach it with this healthy, holy perspective. And when we do that, we're going to open it up to say, I'm fine to ignore tribal order. And so both are rewarded. And so we see directly from this Tosfos, which again was the first one on Lamed Zayin, Lamed Aleph of Sota, that both are right. So now, let's dive deeper into it. Okay, so I said at the beginning, at the outset, but for everybody who is just coming in or is now here, this comes from Rabbi Binyamin Luban, the brother of Rabbi Luban of Or Torah. He was the Asher over there, and he's now the Rabbi Emeritus over there, right here in Edison. He said to his Talmidim, this is obviously the brother, that he heard over directly in a conversation with Rav Simcha Wasserman, that what we just said is exactly how you have to reconcile differing hashkafas, even contradictory hashkafas. Why? Because the governing rule is that as long as a hashkafa is one, rooted in a genuine Torah Masorah, that comes directly from a Gadol B'Yisrael, and two, adheres to halacha, then it's a valid hashkafa that should not be attacked or disparaged. Which means, you come from Or Sameach, I come from Machan Yaakov. But I have a direct line from an Adam Gadol on a particular Hashkafa. And you have a direct line from an Adam Gadol on a particular Hashkafa. No, they don't line up. And sometimes they do contradict each other. We're not going to get into those contradictions tonight. But we can all imagine some of them that might exist. What happens? The ultimate point is that everybody's right. That's right. You have to have shalom in Klal Yisrael. Oh, but I'm that guy who has to have everything work and everybody has to be in the same. That's not the way God made us. Some people are this way. Some people are that way. And hashkafas are meant to be different. And they're meant to help us understand one another. So Rav Simcha Wasserman explained it to Rabbi Luban essentially that it's like a prosecutor and a defender in a certain sense. There's got to be a prosecutor. You went in not right. I'm even throwing stones at you, right? I'm the guy in Mea Shearim yelling at that person who came in not sneeze.
Stop it.
Or whatever it might be. And yet that person, as long as they, and again, you can argue on this point, and that's why I say, seek Das Torah on it, because I'm not Das Torah. Seek Das Torah on it. But if it fits that governing rule, they have a valid ashkafa that should not be attacked or disparaged. And in fact, that's the exact context that Rabbi Luban was talking to Rav Simcha Wasserman about. He was walking on Shabbos with his family and his kids across Bar Ilan Street, back when Bar Ilan was like crazy levels of insanity, with warring people of Shabbos this, Shabbos that, just like you were saying. Shabbos this, Shabbos that. And then, almost like a nace, Rabbi Luban walks across, is like there with his kids, and you know, we're talking about like protests and fires and trashes in the street, and lots of things. And he's asking Rav Simcha Wasserman, who just ran into, like, I don't know. I was taught that, like, we makariv people that are further away. These people who over here do that. And this is exactly what Rav Simcha Wasserman said, even in that circumstance. Wow. I'm not making a comment over here on that particular extreme. That I'm punting the football to Rav Simcha Wasserman on, and I'm also punting the football to your Das Torah on. But I'm giving you the extreme case so you know the more relevant application. You went to the rally during the time of the war when it first broke out. You didn't go to the rally. And now you see, like, oh, are we going to really battle with each other and make a machlokas? Or are we going to try our best to see each other properly and with a good outlook on life? And so this is it. Learning and growing from other ashkafas. You want to see the good. See the good. Instead of trying to say, you know what, I'm so insecure with my ashkafa that I have to knock down literally everybody else, I have to check everybody else that has something other than me. Maybe there's something to learn from this. Maybe I could learn something from this. Yeah? What's geschmack about the different approach? Try to evaluate what that might mean for you. Because you might be the type of guy who says, you know what, forget it. I'm me, and everybody has to be just like me. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Oh, you don't want to follow halacha? Oh, you want to say, you know, different... Again, we're recorded, so be careful. Different movements in Judaism that don't necessarily want to follow halacha, they don't follow the governing rule. That's number two. Adheres to halacha. Adheres to halacha. And number one, directly from a Gadol B'Yisrael. You have a genuine Torah Mesorah, right? You're not so outside the fold over here. But if somebody wants to knock people who learn Breslov, huge problem. Huge problem.
And vice versa.
You got it. And the goal of all of Hashkafa is to broaden your outlook, not narrow it. You should be able to see the good in other people. Now, that said, there's no problem holding by what you hold. There's absolutely no problem saying, this is exactly what I hold with so much confidence deeply within me, and this is what I believe. But they're not wrong for believing their way either. I believe strongly in this, to the point where I might throw stones at Shevet Binyamin for going into the water, but I still love Shevet Binyamin, and I still respect them. And I can hear you. I can hear the question about, like, but you're going to go and stone them. How's that love or respect?
Not my question.
Okay, ask, yeah.
That is, what the key parts of the governing rules that adheres to halacha, but you have machlokes about what halacha is. And
where?
All over.
But not halacha, the hashkafa.
No, after the chaver, we're going to have machlokes.
What do you mean? What do you mean? In hashkafa?
No, by poiski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not talking halacha here. We're talking hashkafa, meaning.
So that they need to adhere to what they understand halacha to be through genuine Torah principles.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. That's accepted. Right. That's accepted. That's given. We're talking. Let's broaden. Let's broaden things a little bit to give more context. So when we're talking about hashkafa, everyone here, God willing, if you're married, already has a Shabbos table. Everybody who isn't married, soon by you, you should have a Shabbos table, and hopefully, you all make kiddush. You're all gonna wash and make motzi. This is Rabbi Lina Machon Yaakov. Kudos to him. You're all gonna make kiddush. You're all gonna wash and say motzi. And you're all gonna bench. But what happens at that Shabbos table?
Wow.
That's hashkafa. Are you gonna say Torah? Are you gonna sing? Are you gonna have a time to go around the table for everybody? Or are you gonna spout? Let's hope not. Lashon Hara. Talk about the sports game. Talk about this. That. Right. What is your approach there? So halacha, Sam, is going to line up with all that. Everyone is going to hold of that, right? Nobody's going to disagree here in terms of that concept. But what you do at that Shabbos table will look very different. How you dress will look very different. Last time I checked, it's not poskened anywhere that you have to wear black and white. But I certainly do every day. Yeah, right? But that's a shkafa also, in a certain sense, in a very narrow, limited sense. And what that means when you dress in black and white, what it means when you wear a suit on Shabbos or you don't, right? All of that doesn't necessarily, from my lights, fall under the context of halach. Okay, here? So, hashkafically, we got to see the good in what other people say. I'm a person who's going to go out and work. I'm a person who's going to go and learn all day. Great, we have to learn from each other and appreciate that instead of hating on everybody all day long. Right. And sadly, you'll see that oftentimes, I certainly saw this in different circles, especially about, which is why I mentioned it, the rally. The rally brought on so many machlokuses and people mocking the other side. How about you just appreciate and understand?
There's a crazy pullback. Yeah, whatever. People endorsed the rally, and then there was let's embrace.
Whatever it might be. And ultimately, the whole entire chop is on both sides of the coin.
Right.
How can I learn from you and see the good in there? And as all Balei Tshuva at this table, I'm almost positive, fill in your gaps, guys. As a Machon Yaakov guy, I can staunchly tell you that we come out very confident in our hashkafa, but I can also tell you that there's an insane amount of stuff that you can learn from every other hashkafa out there. And same to for Sameach guys. You're going to see that a lot of Machon Yaakov guys come out taking on a lot of responsibility and achrayus, and we're ready to step up and lead. And Or Sameach guys, we got to look, and Machon guys, we got to see, look at all these Or Sameach guys coming out being stark in their learning, and they're like ready to go. I'm going to figure out how to get to Rabab Shir no matter what. Sam comes out, yeah, we're going to make it, baby. It's for the pizza. We're going to see. We're coming out. We make it, yeah. We're coming out. We're Or Sameach. We show up, man. Why? Because no matter how we started, we can all make it to the top in the world of being a Talmud Chacham. Right. That's an Or Sameach philosophy. That's a shkafa. It's a beautiful shkafa to have. Yeah, and it's important to see that. Fill in your gaps. We are uniquely positioned here in the Chabura to see different varying shkafas. When you go to other communities, you might not. You might go to a go-to community and surround yourself with more uniquely, you know, more people like you. But here in the Chabur, you have an opportunity to see guys from all different walks of life and see the greatness inside of them. And that's hashkafa. That's what we need to do to fill in our gaps. And the third, avoid judging other hashkafas, like Shevet Binyamin and Shevet Yehuda and the older and the younger brothers. We're all just trying to do Hashem's will. Right? We're all just trying to do Hashem's will. Now, to go back to the mashal. The mashal that the Mechilta brings is very easy. The father directly told one, wake me up at night. And the other one directly, wake me up at 3 hours. Last time I checked, Hashem doesn't necessarily directly tell us anything, hashkafically. So that's why our governing rule, based on the Rav Simcha Wasserman, is that you have to have a Masorah in your corner. You have to have somebody really linked back that can appreciate that type of thing. You have to have a Gadol B'Yisrael there. And you have to have somebody that you can hang your hat on. So we might not have the ability to know, you know, definitively what Hashem wants, but we can confidently and strongly know precisely what it is that our rabbis would do on this issue. And that's what we have to ask. We seek Das Torah. We can't always figure it out for ourselves, and you have to know. And if you don't know who your rabbis are, because maybe your yeshiva didn't give that to you, or maybe you bounced around from yeshiva to yeshiva, as some guys who end up here do, you'll find your sea legs. And I would submit to you that the first hashkafic thing you should do before choosing things that you have a hargasha about is figuring out who your Adam Gadol is. Is it going to be Rav Bilowitz? Is it going to be somebody that you went to from a yeshiva prior? Is it going to be somebody different? Find who that is. I know people who've gone to my yeshiva who found different paths altogether in life. Two of them I happen to love very dearly. And they have a different path altogether, and good for them. But you have to know who your guy is, because if you don't, your hashkafa is going to like disappear into, well, it feels good, or I don't know, right? Or it sits well with me, or that's what I heard in that shir that week, right? So that get solid.
Be a single God of Israel.
At least whatever is in the strain, in the same sense that like you can't paskin a shaila from shopping around halakhically, you'll see that as Jacob, as you go forward more in life, you'll see it's the same thing with hashkafic things as well. You're going to see that a person might have a very different outlook on whether or not you should enter the workforce or not, or what position you should have, or different varying concepts
right.
In life.
Two can do one, have my focus about what
they certainly do. Without question, they do. And again, the whole piece is they're both right, even if they're stoning each other. verbally or whatnot. And so that's the idea. I submit a very, very good idea to try to have one, or at least a school of thought around one. You know what I'm saying? A general vibe of those in the same camp. Otherwise, you're going to be pulled from all over the place. You know? And this is very hard for a Chappelle's guy who might be listening to this, I hope, who's going to be telling me, but my hashkafa is that there's no hashkafa. It's all Torah. Well, that I appreciate that very deeply. And that's a hashkafa. So go talk to your Rosh Hashiv about how to approach this, please. Yeah? Because he's your Adam Gadol.
There's no hashkafa?
They have a hashkafa, but their hashkafa is that Torah is the hashkafa. Talk to a guy who's going to present it even more properly and better than I will. There's many guys who come out of that yeshiva and they do awesome and they're amazing. Ben Weinstein's over there. Shlomo Weisel was over there. Both balance awesome guys, and they would present that position, I would say, even deeper and better than I can. But I would say, but oftentimes you hear that's the clarion call. Torah is the hashkafa. Okay, well, great. Now talk to your Rosh Hashiva about how to approach this issue, because you still have to make sure that you're rooted in a genuine Torah Masorah, which you have, and then you have to adhere to halacha. And then what are you going to do? Is Chappelle's going to the rally or not? Is Chappelle's going to go do this or not? Right. And so you at least have your overall tenor of what's going to be. And again, we said, be confident. Don't let anybody make you feel like your hashkaf is inferior. Now that said, and Rav Banish, I know you're listening. Any time that Rav Banish tells a machon guy that we're 10% too much hashkaf, or we're like 100%, don't take that as a knock. Take that as musr to grow. He is the malach there to hit you to say, I want you to see a different perspective. I want you to see something different. I want you to understand that maybe there's something more that you could fill in for your gaps. He's not doing that out of anything other than love. So be confident. Know who you are, but appreciate what other people have to say so you can fill in your gaps. And then we'll close with the classic Mishnah Perkei Avos, super crucial. And we all know this Mishnah. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham. Halomed Mikol Adam. Shnemar Mikol Malamde Hiskalti Ki Edotecha Sichali. Ben Zoma said, who is wise? Who is the wise one? He who learns from every man. As it says in the Pasuk, from all my teachers I grew wise, for your testimonies are a discussion for me. And we learn that Shlomo Melech is actually referred to over here when it comes to this particular thing as the wisest of all men, right? Malachim 1, 5:11 states, Vayakechem mikol ha'adam. He became wiser than all men. Now the father of Rav Simcha Wasserman, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, the great Rav Elchanan Wasserman, he explains that we're saying, no, look at the text directly. It says, mi kol ha'adam. He became wise from all men. And you're going to see that they also say, afilu, even by shotim, even by fools, you can learn something deeply and great. So even if you don't appreciate necessarily right now the other side of the coin, the other hashkafa, or whatever might be out there, it's something that you can learn. It's something that you can develop into. And it's only going to make you a wiser, better person. And so wisdom comes when we learn from all people. And we need to learn from other hashkafas. We need to not necessarily embrace them as our own. We can easily say, I understand that that's the hashkafa over there, and I don't adhere to it. But at the same time, we have to recognize that this Gemara, and this Tosfos, and this understanding of Rav Simcha Wasserman should be our shining light for realizing that we could all come together instead of be breaking apart. And we know that Klal Yisrael is stronger and better when we're together and when we're more unified. We're coming into the 9 days, we're coming into Tisha B'Av. What was the thing that broke the Beis HaMikdash? What was the thing that killed everything? Sinas Chinam. This is a big Tisha B'Av shmooze, hidden as a Hashgav Hashir, right? The whole Sinas Chinam. And where does it come from? My mindset. My thought, maybe I'm so insecure that I have to attack that other Hashgav that I don't have, that or I'm so confident that I have to attack that. Stop it. Just try to find the good in that other vantage or that other viewpoint. Again, it has to fit the governing rule. It has to be ironclad, rooted with a real deal hashkafa, a real deal Adam Gadol behind it. It has to be something that's really there in the world of halacha. But once you're no longer outside the fold and you're in the fold, try to learn from one another. That's what can stop sinas chinam. That's what can ultimately help bring ge'ula. And that's what can help us be stronger as people together, appreciating each other and growing. Thank you for listening. I'll take any questions from Behasa. Any questions, guys?
How do you kind of deal with when the Dalim, you know, that you obviously look up to, but they have very public, we'll say, machlekesim with other thing. I mean, you know, what comes to mind is Vilna Gaon and his relationship to the Baal Shem Tov.
Very good. Very good. So there's going to be a time where you emotionally are going to struggle with the other side and still grapple. But at the same time, there's going to be somebody who you can go back to who will hold, and you'll just either have to figure out like a little blockage in you to get there, or it'll just be illuminated by the Gadol that you're going to. Maybe it's Rabbi Gershenfeld, maybe it's, you know, somebody else, and they'll be able to clarify for you. Perhaps you're framing the understanding wrong, right? Maybe we don't have it all clear straight out of the gate. And so you're right, there's going to be situations where emotionally doesn't sit well with us. But if we can sort of separate out that emotion from the logic and approach it from a philosophical perspective, we can see that it's both. It can still be both. And we might not be happy with that other side. That's fine. But what can I learn from them? They're still valid. I'm not knocking them down. I'm not hating on them. Cool? All right. Shabbat Tov, everybody. Thanks for coming out.